Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the Chateau de Rothschild, nestled deep within the heart of Vatican City, where we've got our own laws, our own police force, and our own very special supply of cocaine, cannabis, and small children for us to have pleasure with all night long. Yes. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Live from New Zealand, the fabulously fluoridated little capital of Auckland over here. And my very special guest is Stephen Anderson, the pastor from AfterTheTribulation.com and his personal little Baptist preachy McThingamajig website is FaithfulWordBaptist.org. Welcome back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
That's good. Now, the thing we were talking about before the break came on is I noticed this duality as well. You're a truther and you've got a family member who just won't wake up. You're a Christian and you've got a family member who just won't wake up. and this is what you were saying about this documentary as it's coming out, is that it will actually wake up sleeping Christians.
Absolutely, because it's geared toward Christians. It's filled with Bible scriptures. And so this is a great tool. Whether you're a Christian or not, this is a great tool to put in the hands of any Christian who is asleep to wake them up to this and to let them know that, you know, this idea that they're going to be raptured before the tribulation is a fraud. And in the film, not only do we just demolish the pre-tribulation rapture fraud, to the point where no rational person could walk away still believing in it after watching, you know, this entire film. But also, we go into a lot of things about, you know, the New World Order, the One World Government, the, you know, RFID. We cover a lot of that stuff. So I think this is a great tool for waking up the Christians. 'Cause really, I have two purposes in my life, okay? Number one, you know, I mean, just in regard to this topic. Number one, I'm trying to get truthers to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe the Bible, okay? And then on the other hand, I'm trying to get people that are Christians to understand about the New World Order. Because there are a lot of people that are truthers that are not Christians and a lot of people that are Christians and they're not truthers, you know? And I'm trying to get people to be both, okay? Because you should be both, in my opinion. So,
like Christians or Cruthers.
Exactly. And so, you know, I know the Bible is the word of God. I know it's the truth. And so obviously to me, anybody who's a truther should eventually end up at the Bible. And anybody who's a Bible believing Christian who reads it is going to be a truther. And I don't understand how you could be one and not be the other. So basically I'm trying to reach both groups. And I think film effectively reaches both groups. And also, people can watch the trailer. There's a trailer up for the film. It's like a 4.5 minute long trailer that's at AfterTheTribulation.com, or they can go to KJVProphecy.com, KJV like King James Version, KJVProphecy.com, or AfterTheTribulation.com. They can watch the trailer for the film and get a little bit of a taste of it. And they can watch the entire film on December 21st. If they pre-order a DVD, then it'll show up by Christmas. You know, if they're in the United States, of course. If it's international, it'll probably show up maybe shortly thereafter. Hopefully, it'll get there by Christmas. It'll be close. But I strongly encourage people to support the filmmaker Paul Wittenberger, because he's really gone out on a limb making such a controversial film. Because this is an extremely controversial film. This is not what a lot of Christians want to hear. And so, if you can support,
well, have you noticed that simply being Christian is a controversial thing in these times? Have you noticed, as I have, a huge amount of this sort of anti-Christian mystique gone through all the media, all the culture, and things like that. It's all frowned upon as if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're suddenly this crazy person who's going to start up a Waco, Texas, and get your children to commit suicide. They didn't commit suicide; they got exterminated by the ATF. You know, this kind of thing, or you're some kind of crazy Ruby Ridge sort of person who wants to be away from the government and raise your children, and has got a personal arsenal and this kind of thing, just this constant demonization. And you know what? If the people who are believing in God and doing the right thing and having a moral ethic and fabric are the ones being discriminated against, doesn't it become obvious that the people who are in charge of all this discriminating against are Satanist scumbags?
Yeah, exactly right. And basically, the reason that Christians are being demonized or mocked or made fun of the way that you're saying is because of the fact that this is preparing people for what's coming in the tribulation, when Christians will be beheaded and killed. Okay. And the reason why is because I started to talk about this earlier. We never got to it, about who the Antichrist is. So the Antichrist is this guy who is going to be given all the power. Once the global government is in place, they're going to hand all the power to one guy. Well, this guy is basically going to claim to be God. He's going to claim to be the Messiah. Now, if you think about all the major religions of the world, for example, Judaism, they don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They believe the Messiah is still coming. So when the Antichrist comes, they're going to accept him as their Messiah. And then the Muslims today, they believe in a succession of prophets, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and then Muhammad. And they say each prophet was greater than the one before. Well, they believe that there's another prophet that's still coming that's going to be greater than Muhammad. And they call him the Imam Mahdi. And this guy, they say, is going to bring even more illumination of an all-inclusive religion, okay? So the Muslims are waiting for the Imam Mahdi. The Jews are waiting for the Messiah. Christians are waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Buddhists are waiting for the fifth Buddha. You know, those that are in Tibet and follow the Dalai Lama, they say that he keeps being reincarnated. And so basically, when this guy, the Antichrist, comes, he is going to be seen as the fulfillment of every religion. He will be the Jewish Messiah, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Imam Mahdi, the fifth Buddha, the Dalai Lama. Basically, he will be one that brings all these religions together into a one world religion and a one world government. And everybody's going to say, wow, this is so great. We're all getting together. We're putting aside our differences. We're finally uniting. Only one catch: get on board or die. And so that is what it's going to be like, the Bible tells us. And, you know, those that are true Christians, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible's clear that they will not be deceived by this guy. It says that the elect will not be deceived. And so therefore, you know, they're not going to receive the mark of the beast. They're not going to receive the mark in their right hand and their forehead, because in order to get the mark, you have to worship the Antichrist. Well, you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson, you know, maybe some Christians will just bite the bullet and say, hey, I got to buy food. I'm just going to get this mark. But if you look at the way the technology is going with the brain scan technology, you know, polygraphs existed many decades ago. Obviously, they had a lot of flaws. But the technology is so much better now with brain scan and other technologies that I believe that in order to get the mark of the beast, you're going to have to worship the Antichrist. But when you pledge allegiance to the Antichrist, they'll know whether you're telling the truth. And so if a Christian were to say, oh, I'm just going to bite the bullet and just take the mark of the beast, they're not going to be able to get it, because they're going to show up to get it and a little buzzer's going to go off saying, you know, this guy's, you know, not really on board with the Antichrist. And then he's probably going to be taken for an enhanced interrogation and, you know, lose his head.
Now, what's this issue of religion? We know that there are many, many religions, and it connotes a belief structure, usually in some kind of a founding document or a prophet or Messiah or some description that came before. Is there any actual mention of the word religion in the Bible?
Yes, the Bible does use the word religion, and it uses it in both negative or positive ways, depending. But in James chapter 1, the Bible talks about pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted by the world. So according to that, a positive mention of religion is basically good things that we do to follow the Bible, to help other people, to live a clean life, to obey the Bible. So religion has to do with the works that we do, the good things that we do. So
not the preachers that we listen to or the churches we belong to.
Exactly. So religion is a good thing, but religion's not going to get us to heaven. The thing that gets us to heaven, according to the Bible, is believing on Jesus. Religion is just something about how we live our lives that, you know, in order to be obedient to God and to please God, you know, but it has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with whether we're going to heaven or hell. Religion isn't going to get us there. We got to believe in Jesus. You know, we got to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. So basically, the Antichrist is going to be a guy who brings all nations and all religions together. And this is not far-fetched, because if we look at history, there have been a lot of dictators who were worshipped and where people treated them as a god. You know, you think of the Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin. That they term that the personality cult about Joseph Stalin, that basically people worshipped him. And people worship, of course, Kim Jong-il, and they worshipped Mao Zedong, and they worshipped Caesar, you know, back in the Roman Empire. So throughout history, these godlike emperors, these godlike dictators have arisen, these evil men who people worshipped and believed that they were some kind of a god-man. Well, the Antichrist is going to be the ultimate evil dictator, god-man that everybody's worshiping. I think outwardly he's going to seem like a good guy, because the Bible says that he'll be so deceptive that he would deceive even the elect if it were possible. You know, if it weren't for God basically telling us, you know, don't go for this, he's saying even many Christians would be deceived if it were possible, but it's not possible. But if it were possible, because he will be so slick, he's going to perform miracles. He's going to do a lot of the things that Jesus did. He's going to receive a deadly wound, and then he's going to be healed and basically come back to life, basically mirroring the death, burial, and resurrection. So this guy is going to bring everybody together. And look at the brainwashing that's going on, where everything's about unity, and let's put aside our differences, and let's get along, and let's get rid of national borders.
And Osama bin Laden, and...
And let's get rid of, you know, let's put aside our differences and let's all focus on what we agree on about religion and about politics. And this is all preparing people for this one world government, one world religion.
You know, what's interesting is that's part of the way that I run the show. I talk to people that I may have disagreements with, but I just focus on the points that we agree and try to reach conclusions on those things. And the points that we disagree, I think that we can address those at another time, perhaps after we've the fundamentals are, do you want a global tyranny to kill and enslave everybody who wants to be free? No. Okay. Well, then we agree on the fundamentals. So there aren't really any real argument that we're ever going to have. So let's put aside all these little differences and just go, okay, let's stop the big global evil tyranny of ruthless criminals, sociopathic, genocidal scumbaggery, and then we can argue till the cows come home, because we won't get stormed in and have an M4 pointed at our head in the middle of the conversation.
Well, unfortunately, I don't believe that we're going to defeat the globalist scumbag New World Order agenda. I wish we could, but, you know, I believe that these things are going to happen and there's nothing we can do to stop it. You know, so I'm trying to wake up the individual. I'm trying to basically reach the individual with the truth here, because obviously, yeah, the whole world is eventually going to go into this tyranny, this global government of the tribulation. But you know what? I've read the end of the book and I know who wins in the end. And so I'm not scared of it. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not worried about it. But that doesn't mean I'm just going to roll over and die either, because I'm not going to roll over and die. You know, I'm going to fight to the bitter end, and I'm going to wake up as many people as I can. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as I can. And I'm going to try to wake up as many Christians as I can so that they'll be warned and ready. And you know what? God gave us warning after warning after warning in the Bible for a reason. He wants us to know this is coming so that we can be spiritually prepared for it. But Christians aren't prepared for this at all. And it's going to take them by surprise, you know, because their preachers are not warning them at all. Their preachers have sold them this fairy tale of the preacher of rapture. And hopefully this film will fix that.
So I want to also address One other point about this this prospect of religion and individuality. Now, I think there was something about the Muslim belief. I saw in a documentary that it's about this personal relationship with God. It has nothing to do with your particular imam or cleric or whatever. It is a personal relationship with God, and you're trying to have a regular communication with him by having prayers three times a day, pointing in such and such direction. Now, conceptually, thinking about this, it's about keeping people on point with their higher self. Essentially, this is what I've kind of decoded a lot of religious sort of practices and speak as, is to essentially keep your canvas clean so that a clear picture is there for you to paint. You know, your life itself, you get to paint the picture, and you won't be distracted by any of these things like extreme guilt and obsession and thirst for power and whatever. It's like, no, none of that stuff really matters. That's just in the physical world. That doesn't matter. What really matters is what's inside. What really matters is how I'm communicating with that power which is above me. And in a way, it allows you to have a relationship with the best part of yourself, and also understanding and countering the worst parts of yourself that you might be manipulated or coerced into doing evil. But the problem is, it's not entirely possible to eradicate evil entirely. It's a perennial thing, and it's something we've always got to, you know, constantly struggle against, both internally and externally. That's my belief. You can never wipe out one of the